Please listen carefully.
Hi, I'm Paul Frields.
And I'm Dave Guzman.
And welcome to Practical Base, where each week we unpack a topic of practical interest to you, the working bass player. You can find this podcast on iTunes, on Google Play, and on an RSS feed for any podcatching app that you prefer. And you can also visit us on the internet on our website at practicalbase.com. You can find us on social media at Facebook, on Google Plus, on Twitter, and on Instagram. Dave, I've got a powerful question for you to start off.
Intriguing.
What was your first real amp? What do you consider your first real amp?
Huh. Like that. Yeah. So my first amp, it was actually an Ampeg, a BA-115, a super not so powerful, 150 watts, easy functionality, had the Ampeg warmth.
Yeah.
But I almost can't even technically, it was my first, but I only had it for 3 months.
Yeah,
because I realized super quickly that in playing with live musicians, I had to trade it up.
Yeah.
So really, like, the first rig that I actually utilized and played with was just this mixed up, like, just a bunch of different pieces put together. It was in mid-90s SWR 220 with a David Eden 115 and then an Aguilar 212.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was like kind of a mix and match special.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, well, so.
How about you?
Well, I started out, I had a horrible little PV Minx amp. I wouldn't say it was my first real amp. It was my first amp.
Right.
I had it for several years when I first started learning to play bass. And like yourself, you know, I quickly found that there was no way to use it in any situation other than my bedroom.
Right.
It was like a 1x8 speaker, maybe 30 watts maximum. It was, you know, clearly not up to the task of any sort of show. I loved it at the time, but thinking back, I think if I heard it nowadays, I would just cringe.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think I went a whole lot further with my first quote, real unquote amp purchase.
Right.
I bought a Krait Separates group. It was like a 200 watt head. And I can't even remember the model number. It might've had some funky, you know, generic model number like B250 or something like that.
Right.
Or B200, supposedly meaning that it had, you know, 200 watts of power, although that was like everything that solid state delivers, like every missing quality of tone that you really want in bass. It did have a nice, you know, like a 7-band EQ on it. And I thought it was really hip at the time. And I had a 1x15 cabinet. So it was a lot louder than my other amp. And, you know, that was helpful. Not as helpful as Great Tone would have been, but I was a young player.
Yeah.
You know, I had what I had. And
I think especially in those first ones, you just want to be heard through the guitar, through the drums.
Yeah.
You're just trying to get that sound out.
Yeah. Please, like, please God, let somebody hear me over the kick in the guitar. So yeah, I think this kind of helps introduce our topic for today. We're going to talk a little bit about combos and separates and the benefits and the drawbacks of each. And, you know, just to be clear, when we talk about a combo, we talk about a one piece amp where you've got the amplifier and the speaker cabinet are part of one unit.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, benefits of a combo, you know, I think having that one unit kind of clear, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, when when you start looking at the option of a combo, there's a convenience in just having one piece of equipment for your amplification. It's one less hand that you have to use to grab something. They're really convenient for sort of like those smaller venues, or maybe just to have in your own like practice space, or even in a rehearsal space if you're not practicing right. with a band that's too loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of those can kind of cut right through. And you can build on some of these too. You can, if you want, you can, some of the models, you can actually, you know, daisy chain out another cabinet to build off it if it can handle it.
Right. Right. Exactly. So, you know, there are a lot of famous combos out there. I think one that was really big, I remember when I was kind of coming up as a bass player, was the Hartke kickbacks were really popular.
Right.
Right. Yeah. That aluminum cone, but they also had that kickback feature. So it was all in one, so you could carry it really easily, but you could also like tilt it back so you could hear yourself better if you were, like a lot of players, located right next to your amp.
Yeah.
Right. In a rehearsal space, might be pretty small, but if you tilted it back, you could get a lot more of the body of your note coming to your ears.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And, you know, even when you think about that too, it kind of like brings to mind another use that they're great for some of these combos, is if you just want a monitor coming back to you.
Yeah. Yeah. You can kind of use it that way if you like. And, you know, the combos, I think, you know, they tend to be sort of engineered for like value. So you'll find a lot of things marketed in the combo space that are really designed with the working musician in mind. And that idea that you said, which is so important, which is, you know, every less thing to forget, right? Every item that you don't have to remember to tote in and out, every single thing you can save having to remember to put in a gig bag, or, make sure it's packed up, right? Or, you know, all of that stuff is weight too, which, you know, if you're a younger player, you know, maybe that's not so much a concern, but I can say for a lot of our audience, maybe who are, you know, in their 30s, 40s, or, you know, maybe even older, you start to appreciate the value of, you know, weight, right?
Yeah.
Weight efficiency.
Traveling light.
Yeah, there's a benefit in that for sure.
Yeah. I mean, especially if the volume picks up, you know, back to back nights, week after week.
Yeah. Yeah. But then on the other hand, right, separates, having a separate amp or head and cabinet gives you some options too, right? One of them, you know, you talk, we joked a little bit about your, you know, kind of mix and match special, but there's a, not just a charm, but also a real power in that you can really be specific about, you know, you like the voice of a particular head, and then you like the way that a certain cabinet is voiced, and, you know, having, you know, infinite possibilities for doing that.
Yeah.
And the control. Really powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like there's a real value in that. I would say, you know, if people have listened to Practical Bass, then they may have heard our last week's episode about insurance and loss, and hopefully trying to make that topic a little more fun than it sounds. But, you know, we talked about, you know, accidents or losing equipment in different situations. And the great thing about separates is, let's say something happens to your amp head, right?
Right.
Not making that entire purchase or that entire piece of equipment useless is really great, right? If you can go I'm going to just swap in another head. I'm going to grab another amp head from a friend of mine or something like that.
Yeah.
Is really useful.
Yeah, it is. And you could, you know, to that same point, you could actually upgrade certain pieces. So you might like the way, you know, you might like the way that the quality of your amp, but you want to upgrade your cabinet or vice versa. All of that is in your control, you know. And like, what I think that, you know, one of the really big pieces with your separates is that really, if you want that big sound, I mean, if you want power, you've got, you almost have to go that route. And you know, you're the one that's making the choice as to what pieces that you want there, how much wattage, how much, you know, all those kind of technical aspects. It's your research, your, you know, you create your own.
Yeah. Yeah. Your point about power and really needing to move to separates when you get to a bigger rig, that's so important, right? The combo space is, you know, by definition, you know, you're limiting your choices, but you're also limiting the size of your amp stack itself.
Yep.
Right. And that is kind of the point, but it also means that, you know, they're going to top out, right? Even the, you know, even some very nice combos are going to top out at a certain wattage. And, you know, at some point you're going to start to miss that in, if you're in bigger venues or, you know, outside gigs. I find it's key for me to be able to bring a much bigger rig.
Yeah.
And the big rigs, you know, it's all going to be separates. I mean, I don't think this is rocket science probably for the audience. I mean, one of the most famous rigs you're going to see, you know, at any big event is, you know, the almighty SVT, right? The Ampeg SVT, right? Which is the classic combination of, you know, a head, which is basically made out of solid lead. If you've ever carried one, they are, you know, they're notoriously heavy. And then, you know, this 8x10 behemoth cabinet that, you know, you need a dolly and a couple guys to wheel it around. So, you know, you don't want to be taking that to every rehearsal, but at the same time, you know, when you get into a big venue or a bigger gig, you know, you need that kind of coverage.
Yeah.
And you're not going to find it by, you know, hooking up a budget combo, even if it can hook up to an extension cabinet,
right?
You're just not going to get that oomph.
Yeah. Cause you've got to push air.
Yeah, absolutely. That really is the key. And there are some great combos out there, right? I mean, the ones that I've seen recently that actually combine lightweight neodymium speakers, right? A lot lighter than the conventional, you know, iron-based magnet,
right?
That you find in older stuff. That saves you a lot of weight. And you can find nowadays, again, these newer amplifiers as well, right? Class D amplifiers, which have really fast power switching. There's a bunch of technical mumbo jumbo messed up in that, which we're probably not going to go into here. Maybe might be a great topic for another show.
Yeah.
But those Class D amplifiers mean that you've got these amps now that can weigh 30, 35, 40 pounds, which is, you know, you can carry in one hand in and out of a venue.
Yeah.
And you might have 400 or 500 watts of power in that combo.
Yep.
Right? It's not going to push enough air for a big outdoor or a big venue, but just about anything lower than that, you're good.
Right.
So there are some drawbacks, right, to each of these. And, you know, we've started to talk a little bit about each of those, right? The combo, right? We mentioned how if you have separates, you can kind of mix and match and swap out if something goes wrong. But the combo, on the other hand, right, that's a big drawback because, like, what happens if one of your speakers blows?
Yeah, that's it. And a lot of combos, like, you can't really take them apart or detach whatever that amp is. They're built in.
Yeah, some of that stuff may be, you know, it's hardwired or, you know, it's soldered, and it, you know, not that you can't necessarily repair those, but I suspect that a lot of our listening audience doesn't do tech work on their own amps.
Right.
Not every bass player does, right? You trust that to maybe a technician or somebody else, or it means you have to ship that item somewhere if you don't have a reputable shop near you.
Right.
Right. And so that's a big cost that you're incurring. Not to mention, you know, if that's your only rig, you know, you are out of your rig for that amount of time, right? You may have to go borrow something from somebody.
Now what?
Right. another facet of this that I have found is that maybe less so in the higher price range, but definitely in the range for a lot of young working musicians, or maybe musicians who are not trying to make, you know, make their career on music. You find that a lot of the budget priced combos, the things that, you know, the amps that are going to cost you, you know, maybe in the $400 or $500 range, they're just not engineered as well, right? They're driven highly by cost, and they know that their buying market is driven by cost. And so they do tend to cut corners with some of the components, like the electronics inside, the electronic components, or other, you know, other dimensions or other facets of the combo unit themselves are, you know, they're just not made as heartily as some of the higher priced equipment.
Right. I mean, if you really look at the combo and who it's geared toward, these are typically, I mean, and not in all cases, but a lot of them are basically driven off of the demand from kind of these like big box stores, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
You walk in, maybe, you know, kind of beginner level basis that just want something affordable and easy. And it definitely serves a purpose, but if you're looking at the other side of it, they're already cooked, right?
Yeah.
Like that combination, whatever that tonal qualities and the matchup, you have no control over it. It's already prepackaged, and because of the volume that they're producing these, there's a lot of shortcuts. The quality, you know, can lack in some of them. And if you're really looking at sort of, if you just shop like, you know, and combos, bass combos, and you just see what comes up, the vast majority are between like 100 to 200 watts.
Right.
Like
right.
That's the target.
Right.
Right. It's not that they don't make anything stronger. It's just, that's their target. And so you're not going to get that, you know, higher end, higher quality, all of those pieces. And it's somebody else's choice as to, you know, whoever designed the two pieces to come together. It was somebody else's design.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, turning to separates and looking at things that may not be up to snuff there, you can find that, you know, if you're looking in that price range where, hey, this is a separate, it's going to be more flexible for me, but you're looking at the lower price range, you know, you may miss a lot of the bells and whistles that you find in a combo. Like you could spend, let's say, $600 on a combination of maybe, you know, an amp head and a speaker and a 2x10 or a 4x10 speaker cabinet.
Sure.
Like let's say you spend $600, $700 on that. You know, the amp head that you get for maybe $300 out of that or $350 or whatever is probably going to lack some of the tonal quality and some of the bells and whistles that you're going to find on a higher priced separate, right?
True. Yes.
And also, well, and again, since this is the, you know, really versus the combo, that same $700 is probably going to buy you a combo with a lot more features packed in for that money, right? You might find like an effects loop, control on it with a mix control.
Right.
You might find a built-in tuner. You might find, one of these amazing new, like, the kind of amp, the tonal control that they have on like the TC yep. ones where you can download.
That's right.
Tone prints into it.
Exactly.
You know, things like that.
Yeah.
You may not, if you're buying separates at that price point, you will probably not get a goodly number of those features. So, you know, if you're trying to find bang for your buck, separates may not give you that at the same price point.
Yeah, I think, you know, and when we're looking at the separates as well, you know, the obvious piece, you know, that I always think about is that it is that extra hand, you know, you have that extra cable. It's just something else that you have to remember and that you have to carry. You know, you have to know what your gig is. And there's times where, you know, when I really think back to having like that mix and match, kind of like that big stacking combination, it was too much for a lot of venues.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, playing a restaurant that has like all these, just hard floors, hard tables, tall ceilings, and I'm coming in with this stack.
They're right.
I'm like, you know, is there such thing as like 3/4 of 1 on my volume knob?
You know, like it doesn't go that low anymore. It just cuts out.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm scared to even say it here in this podcast, but maybe there's such a thing as too much bass.
Heresy. Blasphemy. Once again, you have blasphemed the bass. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I couldn't agree more. There is such a thing as too much bass for a room, like for a particular room. And so you do have to be aware of that. Know the kind of places you play. It might be amazing. Again, it might be amazing to own one of these SVT, you know, that classic SVT stack. But I'm sorry, are you going to bring that into your neighborhood bar and play that there? That is a mistake. Yeah. And I would say that would be poor judgment in almost any circumstance I can imagine.
Right. Exactly.
So yeah, you really have to buy to match the room.
Yeah.
Another part of this is making sure that the pieces that you buy have a complementary sound. Now that doesn't mean necessarily that you have to buy the same brand for all your separates, but it's something that you need to think about, right? It gives you one more thing that you have to consider. Like you have to be, again, we're talking about drawbacks for separates. One of them is you have to be a little more thoughtful about your buying. Like, is this head a good match for this cabinet or maybe this pair of cabinets in some cases?
Right. And you've got the whole wattage, the ratings, the ohms, the matchup. Are you going to add to that? Should it be an 8-ohm cabinet if you plan to extend it and bring on another one?
Right.
Do the sounds even really match up? And do you have a place that you can test this out? Or just, I think, like at the top of these decisions, also, you have this whole thing where for most musicians, it's kind of trial and error.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's absolutely an expensive trial and error.
Yeah. It can be. Absolutely. The only alternative, I guess, is to bring the rig you already have to the store where you're trying another piece that you're adding. And that can be a little hairy. I don't know that most stores really dig people doing that. So, you know, that's something to be aware of.
I've done it.
You know, and there are, you mentioned ohms and watts, right? And there are rules. There are prescribed mathematical rules for what you want to do. Like, you know, if I attach 2 8-ohm cabinets to my amp, that means that my resistance is 4 ohms, right? And my amp is going to tell me usually in the manual or on the back, it's going to tell me, you know, don't run this amp at less than 4 ohms, or maybe for some amps, it might say, don't run this at less than 8 ohms, meaning that if I attach 2 cabinets to it that are 8 ohms, that becomes 4 ohms. I literally could smoke that amp at a gig.
Yeah.
Maybe without even playing at a very high volume, you know, I could burn that amp up very easily.
Yeah.
So you do have to be aware of what that means. Now, I think salespeople in most worthy guitar stores can help you with that. They can help you with that decision if you don't understand the rules. I would also say there are plenty of resources you can find on the internet that will tell you how those rules work and will help you figure out, is buying this extra piece for my separates, is that going to be a good thing for me or not?
Right.
Right. So yeah, there are ways to do it, but again, it's something that you have to think about. Separates mean a higher level of thought that you have to put into, you know, what you're buying.
Yeah.
So what do you play currently, Dave? What's your current rig look like?
So actually right now, interestingly enough, I'm playing a combo. So, I'm playing a Mark bass. It's the CMB Jeff Berlin Player School combo. It's basically a 115, 300 watts, weighing in at a whopping 35 pounds.
That's amazing. 35 pounds is incredible. That's like a toddler, basically.
Yeah.
Like for those of you who have kids, they'll be able to.
One small human.
Like a very small human.
Now, like, I'm not sure. Like, it's what I use, right? Day to day, it's my work. It's actually the only rig. Like, I sold everything off because that's my MO, right? I just get rid of everything.
Yeah.
And it's kind of risky. I actually feel like I think I'm invigorated by the level of risk of just having that one
and just that one piece.
Yeah. God forbid I get called on a gig that's a huge outdoor venue. I might have to call you. But, you know, I like it because of, because for the gigs that I'm doing, most of them are, they're just smaller venues and there's a lot of them. And it's important to me that I can come in and out one trip. It's just the simplicity and it, the 300 watts is covering everything that I need yeah. at this point.
Yeah.
It could change, but right now, you know, it works.
Yeah. And I'll be honest. I am a big fan of just the voicing and the quality of the Mark Bass rigs.
Yeah.
Something about them just really agrees with me and my style of playing and my ear. And I really like their combos.
Yeah.
A lot. I would say, for the money, really, really good bang for your buck, really good quality. And I just think the sound speaks for itself.
Yeah, and I think in the combo world, like right now, they certainly have, you can upgrade from that. And they're the ones that are coming out right now with, you know, 2/8s that'll fill a room.
Yeah. I mean, I heard one of their, one of their little cube amps that I think is a 1x10.
Right.
And I don't know, it's like 400 watts or something like that. And it's astounding how much thump you can get out of that little box. When I heard it for the first time, I'm like, get out of town.
Yeah.
And then, the guy who owned it, he was like, yeah, now go pick it up. And I just like lifted by the handle and it just like, I was expecting it to, be really chunky because, bass amp and picked it up and it just like shot into the air. And I'm like, shut the front door. Are you kidding me?
So what are you playing right now?
Well, I've gone through a number of amps in my time and some of them I still own. Like I have a lot of the amps that I've bought over the years. I've kept, the ones that I felt were worth it. I've gotten rid of a bunch of, kind of working level combos over time, but the one combo I still own, but I don't use as much anymore is, I have an SWR Super Redhead, which I bought before Fender owned SWR. So it's getting on in years, but it still works great. It doesn't have the amount of power that the newer rigs do. I think it tops out at like 350 or 400 watts.
Yeah.
And it's really, that one, it's all about like the smooth as opposed to the raw honking power,
Yep.
But the rig that I use all the time now, is a Mark Bass like yours, which is why I was tickled to hear that you're using them. I've got the Little Mark Tube 800, which is, it runs 500 watts at 8 ohms, or if I put another speaker on it, it's 800 watts divided by, those two speaker cabinets into 4 ohms. And I use it with a 2x10. I've got a set of Traveler cabinets with them. So it's kind of a match set. I'm not going to lie. That's a match set. I really love the way their rigs sound, but again, the weight, you can find this with other makers too nowadays, but that weight, for me, the quality of the sound and the weight component were the perfect match. And I also found a really good deal on those. Yeah. And I also picked up a used 1x15 to go with that. So now if I have a big gig, it's this, it's this 800 watt amp and then, a 2x10 and then a 1x15 under it. And it can be deafeningly loud. I've used it at an outdoor gig and I want to say I probably turned the amp up louder than I ever had before, which means like on the clock dial, like maybe 10:30.
Right.
Maybe 10:30 at night. Right. Like if you set the hour hand like that, that's where my volume was.
Holy cow.
And it was like the stage was moving a little bit. My drummer later told me, he said he thought he wasn't sure, but he thought he might've been having heart palpitations during the gig because of my amp. So it was amazing. And just, cool. And the tone is, goes on for days. So I can't say enough about that rig. I'm a big believer in them. Again, we're not getting paid for this. not yeah. a not no one's getting any kickback from, you know, our friends at Mark Base or something like that. It's
not yet.
We just yeah, not yet. Yet. Maybe when they hear it, who knows? Wouldn't turn it down.
But that rig is great because you've got the flexibility. You can do this, you know, with just the 210s. It's going to cover just about anything. And once you put that whole thing together, I mean, if you're playing a venue where that's where your whole rig is not covering it, and they don't have a direct system.
Right. What's going on here, right? Like,
what are we doing here anyway?
Yeah, we're going to put this in a stadium and then we're just not going to attach you to anything. Just see what happens. How about we do that? Yeah, I mean, that half rig has really become my go-to. I'm using it tonight for a gig. I'm going to take, you know, that amp and the 2x10 and that's it. And it's going to be plenty, right? I love it.
Yeah.
So definitely, either way you go, though, I think it's safe to say combos or separates, whichever way you decide to go, you know, you can find so much variety and so much value at a lot of different price points. So, you know, I would say get out there and play them and see what's right for you. If you know musicians, ask them what they're playing and, you know, learn from that.
Yeah, definitely. When you, if you have friends that are playing and you see them live, you know, it can't hurt just to hook up with them, you know, not there at the gig, of course, but offline, you know, catch up with them and test out their rig and see. You never know like what sounds right for you, because maybe how they play it, it's they're getting something different from their setup. And if you plug it, you might get something better or worse. So you start to get an idea as to what's important for you.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, it really does come down to, you know, each player has a specific way of playing and, you know, you want to pick the pieces that are right for you, and no one can really tell you what that is. You are the person who has to decide. So use your ears and, you know, use your wallet, let that be a guide as well. And, you know, hopefully find something that's going to be the right fit for the kind of gigs that you're doing.
That's right. Right. That's right. Or just get crazy and just go buy your dream rig. Just do it.
Buy that SVT.
Buy it.
Just do it.
Don't even worry about it.
What is it, like $3,000 for the best $3,000 for the best relationship with your chiropractor that you will ever have? All right, and with that, I think we're going to sign off for this week. So I hope you guys got something out of this episode. We would love to hear what kind of rig you're using and why you bought it. Tell us about rigs that you've gotten rid of and why you got rid of them. Even if you just want to leave us some feedback about the show or ideas about a topic that you would like to see us go further into. Maybe there was something you heard on this show that you would like us to expand on in a future week's podcast. We would love to hear from you. You can leave comments at our website, practicalbass.com. You can also get in touch with us on Google+, on Facebook, on Instagram, or on Twitter. You can find us there as Practical Bass. And of course, you can listen to this podcast every week on iTunes, on Google Play, or using your favorite podcatching app along with our RSS feed. And we cannot wait to get with you next week for another topic of practical interest for you, the working musician and bass player. So I think until then, my name is Paul Frields.
And I'm Dave Guzman.
And this has been Practical Bass.
Thanks for listening.
I never get the recording started soon enough to catch all the best jokes.
Yeah. The nasal root canal.
The nasal root canal.
That joke.
Oh, it's the old nasal root canal gag. That gag's got whiskers. Bromo.